Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Climbing the Ivy on the Fansided Network. This is your host, Alex Pat, alongside my usual co-host, Adam McGinnis. We have a one-hour special for you today, and we will have even more co-hosts on the show tonight. We will be discussing the 2018 MLB trade deadline. It happened a few hours before the show was recorded, so all the new trades are brand new. We're just kind of processing them now, and we're going to talk it over. And then obviously we're going to focus on some Cubs news as well. So we'll have that going for us as well. Plenty to talk about. So we're just going to get right into it. Adam, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. The air conditioner doesn't appear to be doing its job at my place at the moment. So if I seem extra cantankerous tonight, that's why. It's because I'm sweaty and uncomfortable, and I'll be taking it out on you, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of used to that kind of stuff, so, you know,
yeah, but it
whatever.
Could be worse than usual tonight. I mean, I'm probably really going to lay into you and just berate you.
Yeah, okay. I'll be prepared for that.
Fair warning.
So we're waiting for a few of our fellow Cubbies Crib writers to come in. We know Matthew Ong wants to join us, as well as Cody Del Mendo, and maybe a few more surprises along the way. So they'll be in shortly, hopefully. So the two of us will just kind of get this started. Trade deadline was today. Obviously, the trade deadline is a much talked about day in the world of baseball. Did you have any trades in mind that you thought were going to happen and didn't happen? Because I think that there's a lot of talk right now of, oh, I expected this to happen and it didn't. Is there anything like that for you right now that you're thinking of?
No, the Cubs did pretty much exactly what I thought they were going to do. Even last week when we talked, I didn't think they were going to go out and get a high-profile guy, especially a starter. I thought they would add a solid bullpen arm, not somebody too, you know, overly expensive, but somebody who will definitely help out the bullpen, and that's what they got in Kinsler. So, no, the Cubs, they didn't shock me. They didn't disappoint me. I think they pretty much handled it exactly the way they needed to.
Yeah, I mean, they did pretty much what they could because, let's face it, they don't have the farm system. They make a big blockbuster trade.
No.
They were not willing to trade any of the big league club. So they did what they could with what they had, and I think you got to give a lot of credit there. All right, looks like we have someone else coming in. This might be Matthew. Hey, Matthew, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hey! How's it going?
I thought it was the dragon, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though. And you know, a nickname like dragon is something you earn. It's so, you know, we'll see. We'll see, like, midway through the show where you're at and maybe.
I did hear what you guys were saying, but you know, Theo Epstein, man, he waved his wand. Because if you think about it, guys, we got Cole Hamels and Kinsler for basically peanuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know anything too much about the prospect we gave up this afternoon, other than the fact that he's at single A. I would do the same trade over 10 times. And just the ability of Epstein to answer or fill holes with basically giving up nothing is, to me, remarkable. I don't know what his ploy is, but whatever he does, it works.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they may did with what they could do. When you don't have a lot of assets in the farm, you got to be thinking, well, we got to find deals that we can make with kind of low prospect guys, ones that are not on the top 10 list, because even the top 10 list for the Cubs right now, you have some notable names there, but nobody that's really going to be a huge, huge, huge want by a selling team that's looking for a major piece in the rebuild. So, yeah, I mean, we'll get to Cole Hamels in a minute, but like, you know, the Kinsler trade, it was one for one, one minor league guy that I really never heard of, a pitching prospect with Myrtle Beach, and then you got a veteran reliever. So, I mean, there you go. It's giving up pretty much nothing. Before we go any further, it looks like someone else is joining us. This might be Cody.
It might be William.
Is it you, Cody?
Yeah. What's up, guys?
Oh, okay.
Hey,
I was
Cody.
Expecting someone else. No offense, Cody. Well, you're fine, too.
Appreciate
hey,
you
bud.
Guys having me on, man.
Yes.
Yep, don't blow it.
Yeah, I'll try not to.
So, Cody, we were just talking about the moves that the Cubs have made, not really in much detail about who they are, so we'll get to that in a minute, but just the trades that Theo Epstein pulled off. Were you satisfied with what Theo did overall this trade deadline?
Yeah, I think most people should be content with what they did, considering, I mean, when I joined, you were talking about the low prospects or those. The fact that we don't have our farm system is very thin. So yeah, I mean, with what they got with what we have, I mean, I thought they did a great job. You knew you weren't going to get a high end starter like Jacob DeGrom unless, you know, you had to give up Ian Happ or Albert Almora and probably had to throw in Mike Montgomery or someone like that. And not that, I mean, obviously, I guess it came out that that DeGrom and Syndergaard weren't even on the market, but if they would have been, I feel like then maybe Theo would have gone after someone like that. But, you know, obviously the starting pitching market was very thin this July. So, I mean, if it could have been better if something like that could have worked out. But at the same time, I don't know if I wanted the Cubs to get rid of anyone on the major league roster, at least yet. I guess we can see the rest of the season play out and go into the off season and go from there. But as of right now, I'm pretty glad that they were able to hold on to most of the major league roster. And as far as like the other moves like Chavez and Kinsler, I mean, you didn't really have to give up anything at all for those guys, and they were needs. So I have no issue with what they did.
Yeah,
you
because
know,
I ran a poll on Twitter earlier, and I basically asked what people thought of the moves, and the options I gave were love the moves, fine with the moves, underwhelmed, terrible, 81 votes, 23% said love, 63% said fine, 14 underwhelmed, so majority pretty much likes it. So, yeah. That pretty much sums up what people are thinking.
And another thing, real quick, if you guys think about it, the two players they got around this deadline period are controllable assets. Because if you'll remember, the day before the deadline, Jean-Paul Morosi came out and said we were close on Brad Ziegler, and then for some reason that deal fell through. And then I looked at his contract. He would have been a rental player. So not only did the Cubs, in my opinion, accomplish what they needed to accomplish, they got Hamels for another year if they wanted and Kinsler for another year if they wanted. So that, I just think, was a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people aren't a big fan of the Hamels move. Well, maybe not a lot, but some people aren't just based off, you know, his season he's having. But I think a lot of people think that maybe those numbers could be better if put in Wrigley Field, and you know, obviously the Cubs have a better defense than the Rangers. So, you know, those many factors might help his earn run average a little bit. And it's not even like the Cubs need him to be like 2008 Cole Hamels. They just need him to be able to consistently give them five or six innings and not walk a ton of guys like Tyler Chatwood.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be really hard to walk that many guys. But, yeah, you just want him to be decent. What are you guys all realistically expecting from him? Adam, what do you expect?
From Cole Hamels?
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing okay on the road. It looks like Texas has been kind of his kryptonite this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I certainly don't expect prime Cole Hamels at all. I mean, we might see flashes of that pitcher from time to time, but from tomorrow, I think, is his first start. From now till the end of the regular season, I would say, you know, maybe something like a 3.85 ERA around that area. I think that's realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like anywhere between a 3.5 and a 3.8 ERA, and you know, and just your typical innings eater, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean that's basically what you're looking at here.
For me, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but for me, this is me just, you know, talking. But do you guys have the feeling that this move is similar to the Verlander move a year ago?
Or is that I don't think it's that.
No.
I don't think we're going to get those kind of results.
No.
I'm not saying he's going to be Verlander, but this move has that feel to you're putting a bona fide ace out of a crappy situation and throwing him into a pennant race. I just think he can, you know, I think he can get you a 3.3 ERA and, you know, 4 or 5 wins before the end of the regular season. I really think so.
Hey, I see what you're saying, and you know, it makes some sense. I just don't think he's gonna put up the numbers like Verlander.
Nobody in the league is gonna do what Verlander did. That's
right. That was insane.
The kind of run he had is the kind of thing you see once every 10 years.
What I think Hamels can do is like I said, be an innings eater and a guy that you can rely on in October, because he has the experience and because he, you know, he's proven that he can pitch well in big time games.
Right.
So
he has to do is not walk 6 guys a game and go longer than 5 1/3. And if he does that, he'll effectively be an upgrade over Tyler Chatwood. So, I mean,
yeah, and that's what the Cubs are looking for.
I was upset with the move at first, and when it was rumored that they were going after Hamels, I was not a fan. I didn't think it made sense. Hamels wasn't having a great year, but like you guys said, they got him for practically nothing, eating a little bit of the contract on Texas's end, and so, you know, it could work out. I'm just glad that Tyler Chatwood is out of the rotation.
Well, I think a lot of people agree with you there on that one. Oh boy, we have 2 more people coming in. Wow, this is going to be interesting.
Popular.
Yay!
Oh.
All right, the next 2 people, you are in. What's up?
Hey guys.
What is your name?
Hello. Well, I am actually, I'm Corey Francis. I used to actually write with Cubby's Crib.
Oh,
but,
yeah, hey,
Adam
Corey, what's up?
Adam posted on there like, hey, man, you should call in, so I'm calling in.
How's it going, dude?
I'm doing fine, man. How are yourself?
Ah, not too bad. Been a minute.
Dude, I'm so glad you're here. It's so awesome that you called in.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, do what we can every once in a while. So, but no, I'm the biggest head scratcher for me in this whole trade deadline stuff, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Agreed.
I think the Cubs, I wish the Cubs had done a little bit more. You know, Archer went to the Pirates for a few prospects. We probably could have done that or gotten rid of one major league player and, you know, gotten Archer. But, you know, the trades that the Brewers made without getting pitching, at least the Cubs got Chavez, which has been fantastic so far in my eye.
Yeah.
Strikeout.
And Hamill will help. Hamill will, you know, Hamill Kohlheim is a little bit of a Band-Aid on a bad pitching or a not stellar pitching rotation right now. I just don't get what the Brewers are thinking in terms of being competitive with the rest of the division.
I'm
with you.
I agree 100%. Because I even posted after they got who did they get this afternoon? Oh.
Scope.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, they got, and I tweeted out, I didn't understand what they were doing, and my 3 arguments were, who's going to pitch? Number 2, what is their infield going to look like? And more importantly, where are you going to get at-bats for Scope, Moustakas, Shaw, so on and so forth. To me, it's a logjam of players, and you could have easily shopped some of those players for a pitcher, and they needed pitching. There was no doubt about it.
My understanding is that they're going to move Shaw to second base. Am I right there?
They already
did
that.
Well, that's the talk.
Yeah.
Jeff Scope play shortstop, and Moustakas obviously is going to play third. But
well, they already have a decent shortstop.
It was Orlando Arcia.
Like,
I know that.
He was struggling though. He wasn't like he was last year.
Cool name. So he's always got that going for him.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like,
Jonathan Villar. He was playing second, right?
I don't know.
He was. He was at second. He was like batting like 261.
Okay.
Yeah, Villar's been on the DL, but he's been playing second.
God, this is hard having so many people when you can't see each other. It's like everybody's all going in at once. We need to be going back to elementary school here. Okay, let's channel our inner second grade and take turnsies here.
Well, how can we raise hands when we can't see each other?
I don't know.
What is that?
Listen to the ship, Pat. So figure it out.
Yeah, my hand's raised right now, but that's okay. Y'all keep on going. It's fine.
Well, I also have to ask who not Corey is, who also joined us.
William.
That's not
William. Oh, it's William. Hey.
Got like 10 people.
Oh. What?
What's going on?
What's up, William? Good to have you.
Not much. Yeah. Hey, who is this?
This is Alex. This is the head of the show.
Oh, hey, Alex. I never realized if it's you or Adam. So, hey, what's up, Alex?
And I'm Cody.
The guy who doesn't sound like a total dweeb, that's
no,
me.
No, I'm Cody.
No, I'm Adam.
What's up, guys?
You're
going to
confuse the poor man. Come on.
Hey, let me ask you real fast. Let me ask all of you. How is this Cubs win going to happen tonight?
What was the question?
How is this Cubs win going to happen tonight? It's getting late. Who's going to be the hero?
How are they going to win? I'm assuming that they're going to win by scoring more runs than the Pirates do, ultimately.
Is Baez going to be the hero? Is Baez going to be the guy? He's up right now.
He already had some heroics in this game. He had the game-tying home run a while ago.
I know.
But now
that's the thing. It's on fire.
Somebody else is going to pick up the slack.
He's due for a triple.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's
going to
be Riz,
man.
Riz is going to do something.
Yeah, Riz is on fire.
Hopefully Rizzo will pick up by pitching that last inning.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Almora with a double in the gap, and it's gonna be Contreras knocking him in right after that, and something's gonna have to, and then maybe a pinch hitter for Chavez hits a home run. That's my guess. Who's it gonna be? The pinch hitter tonight could be
Bodie.
Bodie. Bodie is great. Bodie.
But yeah.
Bodie's been the GOAT recently.
Absolutely. Yeah, really
from Bodie to love.
Did you guys see that Rizzo hit by pitch?
I didn't, but
I heard
about
it on the radio.
I heard it was in the wrist.
Yeah, it looked pretty. He stayed in it. Baez. Oh, man. Flew out the left. Yeah, Rizzo stayed in, but it looked like it was pretty painful. At least that.
Yeah.
Oh, he got under it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he had him. Wishful thinking. I forgot this was a two-game series, too.
Oh, my God. This is such a cluster. Oh, I can't say that word. Sorry. Almost.
Yeah, I was going to say, I almost had to kick you off.
Stop. Didn't do it, though, did I?
No, you didn't, and I'm proud of you.
You could do that 30-person FaceTime thing.
All right.
So,
all right. You get this ship going in the right direction again here.
All right.
Yeah. I got this. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the Cubs. Obviously, Cole Hamels and Kinsler and Chavez, we got those guys for pretty much nothing. Really good bargains there. Much needed depth here. Personally, I think Kinsler is going to be good to have because he does have closer experience. And when Brandon Morrow is injured, you want to have as much depth in that area as possible. So I also do really like that. All right. So one by one here, I'm going to ask all of you, we're going to go back to second grade. what was the most surprising move in baseball that you saw during this trade deadline?
I
will start
first?
With Adam, and I will.
Yes. Yes. Because only because I know I'm going to have the same answer as everybody else. Like I'm positive that everybody was going to give the same answer I'm going to give, and I'm giving it first. So, ha! It's got to be Chris Archer to the Pirates, right?
Yeah, I agree.
When they got the Rangers guy, Kella, right? Kayla, is that how you say it?
Kellar, I think it's Kellar or something.
Keone, Kayla. What? Kellar. It's K-E-L-A, isn't it?
Kella?
I don't know.
Yeah, Kella. It doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there. When they got that guy, that's when they made it clear that they were not throwing in the towel or standing pat, that they were going to go for it. And I thought that was kind of cool because they're not that far out of the race, and it was a nice message to the fans that, you know, we're not giving up. We're going to go for this thing. And I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was probably enough for them, given how they were playing. But getting a high-profile guy like Chris Archer was a big deal because I'm sure most people thought that he was going to be headed to one of the big dogs like the Dodgers or the Yankees. And so to see him end up on the Pirates, who have kind of a long shot still to get into the playoffs, I think it's kind of cool. I think it's good for baseball, and that's going to make them an interesting team to watch the rest of the way. I kind of stand by what I've said earlier, that I think Chris Archer is a tad bit overrated and has been for a little while, but he is a good pitcher. And
yeah, he's solid enough that could give you a lot of strikeouts and a good outing.
Right. Putting him in that rotation definitely improves the Pirates, that's for sure. I don't think that he's as good as some people try to make him seem, but he definitely improves that team by a lot.
For sure.
Because I was sure that he was either going to go to the Yankees or he was just going to stay with the Rays like he has been for the past 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, that was the surprising move. That's what I've got. So I know that's what everyone else wants to say. So
I got one.
You can come up with something else now.
I got one.
Okay. Matt, you said it first, or Cody? Cody, you go ahead, then Matt.
Okay. Tommy Pham for the three prospects. I'm just surprised that the Cardinals are actually selling, or if you want to consider it selling. I mean, they beginning of the week, what they like, they let go of all these bullpen guys like Holland and whoever else.
Cuivalala.
Guys from.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. And traded him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Pham getting traded. To me, it just doesn't make that much sense because they still had years of control with him, and he had a good year last year, and like they pretty much had the same record last year around this time as they do this year, and they could have got way more for him last season. So I don't really get it because, like, first off, they traded him to the Rays, who they just traded Archer, so, like, I don't get what they're doing. This is a very confusing trade. That's why it's so shocking, because it's like I just don't know what either team's direction is.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense on either end, does it?
I thought it was kind of odd.
The Pirates,
word on the street is that Tommy Pham and the Cardinals were not too fond of each other.
I heard that too.
There was some sort of bad blood between the two sides. And so I don't know that this necessarily means that the Cardinals are waving the white flag as much as it is.
I don't think it is.
Fixing maybe a clubhouse issue while they can. I don't know. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. They're not really going anywhere this year. But it does seem like they got kind of a small return for a good player in Tommy Pham. But, again, I mean, it doesn't really – I don't know what the Rays are doing either. I mean, it doesn't make much sense on their end, but whatever.
To me, the Cardinals were just kind of dumping some stuff off and not selling, if that makes sense with that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what did you want to say?
They still
– one quick thing on the Archer, then I'll get into mine. The people that Rays got back, though, Glasnow and Meadows, those guys are major league ready talent. So they might not be as far away from being decent. So maybe the fan move to me makes a little more sense. But what surprised me the most was the D-backs going out and getting Ziegler and then Dierks to make their bullpen just unbelievable. I thought they would get one, but to get two, they're trying to shorten the game to like a 5-inning game is what they're doing. Because you figure Dierks, Bradley, Ziegler, and then Boxberger. I mean, you know what I mean? So that was my surprise, them getting two relievers.
Yeah, I mean, again, and not a lot of people saw this coming, so I get what you're saying.
That and the fact that Milwaukee didn't get pitching, but we've already
that is a big surprise.
Yeah, what the hell are they doing? Those dummies.
The surprise for me, I'm taking this the other way. The surprise for me, I mean, it didn't happen, but seeing the Padres getting involved with, like, Syndergaard rumors and who was it? I think Archer also. It's like the Padres were trying to be buyers. The Brewers not getting any pitchers, or at least starters. The Mets holding on, basically holding on to, not DeGrom. I mean, he wasn't going to go anywhere, but, like, whether it was Bautista or I'm trying to think, who else?
Wheeler.
Memo. Yeah, I mean, the Mets are a mess. They're down, like, 19-0 right now, symbolical of their whole season. Cubs are down 5-3 now. Wilson. Jesus. Yeah, Justin Wilson. I can't wait till Wilson's gone at the end of the year.
But, you know,
hey, that is a human being, man. Show some respect.
It'll be just fine, but
I'm kind of looking forward to it too.
Yeah, it's a year ago to the day that he's been acquired, and he's just been
You know what Justin Wilson is? You know what he is? He's like you ever gotten sick on a roller coaster? Like, you go on a roller coaster and it's fun for a little bit, but then you start feeling sick and you're like, okay, it was fun for a little while, but now I'm just ready for it to be over. That's Justin Wilson.
Wilson was never fun.
Yeah, he kind of was initially.
Well,
like, before he threw a baseball, for the Cubs, that was fun because at that point we thought he was a big deal. But then
okay,
he wasn't.
Last year, when they got him. Yeah, last year when they got him, I was like, okay, he's a good pitcher. But then it was like horrible from the get go. This year he's been somewhat promising, but it seems like, you know, the other shoe falls.
It's either bad or good.
Yeah,
I feel like you don't get an in-between with him. It's like he gives up this home run or he gives you a 1-2-3 inning. Like,
it's
not
the lefty that
you bring
in like a seventh inning, he'll get the job done. But late in the game when you need to be close, that's when things could kind of go south with him.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's a high leverage situation. There's no way I'm Justin Wilson out there.
But I'll say this. Real quick, the one the one move that could pay dividends for a team is Wilson Ramos going to Philly.
Yeah.
That could be the best move of the trade deadline.
Yeah, that was a great get for Philly. That was a really good get.
Yeah. A veteran catcher with that young pitching staff, that to me was – because who did they have before? Andrew Knapp? I mean, the upgrade level is sky high right now.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah, he's a good catcher, and that dude can hit, too. Wilson Ramos can swing the lumber, man.
Right,
the Nats probably miss him.
I think the Nats
miss a lot of things.
My God! I hate you! Stealing my lines. I'm sorry.
The silence.
You know, I'm just sitting over here cracking up, listening to you guys. This is hilarious. There's one name I think. there's one name that everybody, I think, forgot about this trade deadline that I thought I didn't even know still played, and that was Adam Warren.
He got traded for money.
I totally forgot about that.
Oh, man. How the mighty.
He's not terrible.
He's
going to help out a bullpen. And
just getting traded for international slot money is kind of like.
The Yankees got all the money Seattle acquired to try to get Ohtani, and of course that didn't work out. So New York got all that money that Seattle was hoarding for Ohtani.
Have you guys realized how much international slot money has played a role this year? It seems like every deal has slot money going one way or another. It felt like every deal today had slot money in it.
It's a big thing these days.
Yeah, I mean, the international slot money is a really important tool for rebuilds, especially.
Oh,
I mean, you look at a lot of what the recent teams have done, even the Cubs with the international money. I mean, they got Jorge Soler, and obviously he was a good player coming up. He eventually got traded, but he was part of the 2016 team. So I almost feel like that international money is almost like – it's almost like part of a farm system in a way.
I feel like the White Sox are really using that money to their advantage. They've gotten a lot of guys from down south. I can't remember the countries, but you know where I'm getting to.
Dominican Republic, Colombia,
Puerto Rico,
you know, those kind of countries. Central America.
Puerto
Rico's a big one.
Hey, so adding on Kinsler real fast, I actually like that pickup a lot because I know you mentioned it. He can be a potential closer. He was the all-star closer for the Twins, last season?
Before
the trade. I actually wrote about him for the Crib back in December. I really thought he would be a good pickup for the Cubs, and apparently they liked him a lot too back then. And, of course, for whatever reason, Nats got him back. But I think he's a pretty good pickup, especially with the Morrow thing. What's the latest on him? Just hurt out.
Hasn't even thrown.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with him. So I mean, I think Kinsler could be the closer. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go to Strope or what, but I feel like Kinsler could be the guy.
Strope's been okay so far in the closing position.
But that's just me. I think it's Kinsler.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
For now.
I mean, do I want Strope to be the closer? No, I'm just. And the few appearances that he's done it, he hasn't done too bad. I can't complain.
Right.
I'm honestly a little surprised that they haven't used Edwards as a closer. I thought Edwards would get that shot.
I think he can
first.
Be. I think that's his future, or at least could be his future, at least next year or 2 years from now, or whatever. Maybe not next year.
He's just been too injured this year to really allow him to stay in that role the entire time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing with the closer situation right now is that you have to have your closer back at some point. Brandon Morrow is the closer. You can go a certain amount of time with kind of a closer by committee, but you got to have him back eventually. It'll work for a short time, but not in the long run. I'm sure you guys would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have the ninth inning settled. You know you can line up everybody else in 6, 7, and 8. You know how it comes
exactly.
They don't get past the fifth inning. So now you've got a question mark in the ninth inning. So you got to rotate everything around, and there's no consistency. You need to have that consistency, and that's why, you know, Chapman was a big deal in 2016 when they picked him up. They solidified that role. Everything else could fall in place.
That's part of that's why I say Kinsler would slide, air quotes around slide, into the closer's role for right now, because then technically you aren't moving any of your current pieces anywhere.
Right.
You can just kind of slide Kinsler in there. Because this Cub team, I've noticed over the last bunch of years, they're very
baseball?
They need to be on a schedule. They need to be they need to be like on a schedule. That's why, I don't think a six-man rotation would work for this team. So I just think sliding Kinsler in kind of leaves the bullpen alone. So that way you don't have to mess with it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, those are all really good points. I mean, that way, I mean, that's probably, honestly, I think that's the reason they got him, or at least that they had him on their target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Time runs on.
New topic time? I think we milked that one dry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bodie got
anyway.
Oh, Bodie.
Hey, raise your hand.
I can't see their hands, so
remember,
to be fair,
raise your hand if you want to speak. Have your bathroom pass
right
ready
now.
If you need to tinkle, okay?
I'm raising my hand.
We're running a tight-knit operation here.
I think we should do the 30-person FaceTime thing one day and see how that goes.
Yeah, we're going to definitely give that a go.
I'm really curious.
I'm going to give your mom.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Hey, now, keep it clean, guys.
Come on, Russ. Well,
yeah,
Rizzo, he's on deck, so.
We will keep you updated here, even though you'll probably be listening to this show after the game is over. But if we're going to move on to another topic here, let's talk about a team in baseball that you thought was going to make a big trade but didn't. We already talked about the Brewers, but let's talk about another team maybe. You know, I talked about the Nationals a little bit earlier and thinking, are they going to trade Harper? Are they not? Are they selling? Are they not? Are there any other teams that you thought should have made another big trade, whether it was buying or selling? Corey, let's start with you.
Of course you're going to start with me.
It's not fair!
I know, I wasn't prepared. I've got to get my screen up, my stats up here.
I got some.
You know, I was kind of
surprised. That's cheating. It's cheating.
Hey, look, it's called being well-informed.
No technology.
The one player I thought, Pilgrim style.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I thought the Reds were going to sell a little bit more. I thought the Reds would get rid of Harvey. I'm kind of surprised we didn't hear Scooter Jeanette's name anywhere. They got rid of Adam Duvall, which, you know, he's only batting barely over 200, and you know, had some home runs and RBIs. But I kind of felt like Cincinnati was in a place where they're close, but they need some better pitching. You know, maybe trade off Harvey for some prospects. They could have gotten something for Scooter. I thought they would sell a little bit more than what they did.
I'm with you there. All right, Matt, what about you? Any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, I would say Atlanta just a little bit, just because you have the assets to go out and acquire an Archer. And to me, I thought by the end of today, I thought they would have done something more on the Archer front, especially because they can control Archer through 2021. So that's what surprised me. I thought Archer was going to go to Atlanta, and then like you said, I thought the Reds would sell more. I was surprised Iglesias' name didn't come up. And Harvey especially, and Scooter Jeanette, although I think they're trying to work out an extension with him.
Yeah.
So I think those are my biggest takeaways. The Reds not selling and the Braves
get down,
not
get down, get down. Gapper. Sorry. It's 5-4.
Oh, all right, Cubs are rallying.
I didn't mean to
interrupt
you,
but
I thought
you quicker than mine.
Triple, get in. Yeah, triple.
Oh, baby.
You got to tie this thing up. Rizzo has to bring him in right here.
How many outs?
Look at Vasquez.
Zero.
Zero.
No outs.
Zero out.
You have to tie.
Children, focus.
Hey, I've got one.
Corey,
if I can
go. The game of baseball we're watching. We're excited the Cubs actually may win something.
William, you said you have
ball.
One?
Yeah, I got one.
Go ahead.
I think the Giants surprised me by not trading, whether it was McCutcheon or even Pence. I mean, because the Giants are kind of a middling team who barely is contending, isn't going to really go anywhere. And I don't know if McCutcheon was really going to get traded, but his name was out there. I think I saw Pence's name out there. I'm trying to think of some other guys. They didn't do anything. I mean, literally. So it's kind of weird, I guess. But Giants seem committed to doing whatever they might do the rest of the way. And I'm thinking they'll retool in the offseason again, whatever that means. And Cueto's out with Tommy. I mean, sounds like Cueto's going to have Tommy John surgery.
Right.
I don't know. My boss is a Giants fan, and we were going over it earlier. But Cueto looks like he's done for the year. Bumgarner was like the only guy who they would not trade, and I don't know. It might come to the point where they have to just to really get something in there. But yeah, the Giants kind of
button. Hit the reset button.
Yeah, exactly. Hit the reset button.
Oh, I agree. I said they should have done that in the offseason instead of going after aging veterans. I really thought the Giants should have rebuilt that team.
I agree. It was just weird how they've kind of tried to retool. And I mean, they're not as awful as last year, obviously, but, you know, it's kind of like just, you know, probably retool. And I kind of agree about the Reds, too, because I thought whether it was going to be Harvey or – I thought Harvey might go to Milwaukee or, you know, but, yeah, the Reds, I guess they're trying to bank on potentially – I heard that they actually are hoping they can contend next year, so they're telling people they're going to trade anybody that it's going to be a big haul and then Russell's out at third. But
wow, that could have just lost this game.
Oh, man.
He's safe.
I thought he got his
What a loser.
Out.
What a loser!
Respect 90 guys for a
Okay, so
him,
I mean, man, I,
here comes all the Russell slander on Twitter.
Oh yeah, Twitter is blowing up
now. Okay,
his hands
back,
there.
Back
Did
to the
come
task
off?
At hand. Yeah, what were we talking about again?
The Reds.
Well, we were talking about
trades.
Oh, teams. Okay. So I'll take kind of the opposite angle of what Matt said. I was originally going to go with Atlanta, but since Matt took it first, thanks, Matt. Shut up, Matt. Shut up. So I'll kind of go the opposite route of what Will was saying. I thought the Giants should have tried to add, and I agree with Alex that I was surprised that they acquired guys like McCutcheon and Longoria in the offseason. When they did that, obviously the plan was to contend this year. And so once you've done that, I think that you owe it to your organization and your fans to keep going for that, because they're only 5 games back. Like, they are not out of this. They're within reaching distance. And so I don't think they should have sold anybody, but I do think they should have tried to go after somebody. I think they should have made at least an effort to improve their team a little bit, because the way they've approached this, that they might as well. They've got nothing to lose now. I mean, they basically said they were going all in on this year, so to see them just standing pat is a little bit of a head scratcher for me.
That's what surprises me.
Those
is just
idiots.
Standing pat. Yeah, whether it was either buying or selling, it was the fact that they just did nothing that surprised me the most.
I mean, a blind squirrel could have told you that what the Giants have wasn't going to get it done. I mean, everything had to go perfectly for this to work. I don't think anybody had any, you know, misconceptions about how good this Giants team was going to be. I think they're pretty much doing exactly what people thought they would do.
Yeah, I mean, I came into the season thinking they'd be a 500 team. I mean, that's
they
saw.
Basically are.
In that division.
Yeah, what we didn't see coming though is the really slow start from the Dodgers.
That evaporated pretty fast.
5 games back, start of August is, you know, that's not out of it. They could still go on a crazy hot streak. They're right back in the mix. They should have done
that's
something.
That's how usually when they're World Series is they get hot. Yeah, the Giants usually go for like 500 and win the World Series anyway.
The Nats are in the same boat as the Giants, which is why I found it a little odd that they didn't make a stronger push for like a Realmuto. Because if you think about it, if you weren't going to trade Harper, that tells me and every other team in baseball, you're still going for it, so you're in an adding spot. And to me, if you put Realmuto in there with Harper and Rendon and Trey Turner and whatever, and Scherzer's going to pitch and whatever, they've still got a shot at it, but I think giving up Kinsler, you kind of canceled out what you said you were doing earlier in the day. You believe in your team. Great, you believe in your team, but you just traded one of your key bullpen pieces.
You know, I wonder if that little play for on the Harper saying that he's available than not was just something to kind of aggravate the team a little bit into playing like they are tonight. I mean, yeah, they're playing against, you know, the Mets, but they're up 19-1. They're finally seeing some offense from the entire lineup. I wonder if something like it was just kind of a motivational tactic more than anything else, because they have, unless they have Strasburg coming back, you know, if Strasburg comes back, they've got a rotation that can fill it, that can pitch in the playoffs. They've got enough of a bullpen to make it through the playoffs. So I'm kind of like on the Nat side of things, like what was the true motivation behind Rizzo coming out saying, or someone saying that Harper's going to get traded and then not, and then Rizzo come out and say, nope, we believe in our team.
I guess they thought they could get a good deal and probably thought, nah, we're not getting what we thought. Or, yeah, maybe it was motivation.
Do you guys really think teams weren't checking in on the Nationals on Harper for the last week? And
oh,
then
you know
just
they were.
They were definitely and calling like, in. Were they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the Cubs were calling in going, please don't trade him so we can sign him this offseason.
I mean, if he got, they were going to try to do that either way, whether he got traded or not. You know.
No, because see, what's going to happen? He's going to be on a Nats team that's not going to make the playoffs. He's going to be on. He's going to struggle the second half of the season, and then his value is going to go down a bit. If he went off to like the Dodgers, they win the World Series, his price is going to go up. So you know, I'm just trying to think from the dollar sign standpoint.
I wouldn't necessarily count the Nats out of the playoffs yet. Like that's
they're not
good,
that far out.
That's a
right.
good team that's really underperforming, as opposed to a team like the A's, which is kind of mediocre and just on an insane hot streak. The Nats are a really good team that just they aren't playing good baseball. So I mean, that could turn around in a hurry, and only
the
five and a half
on their...
games back. So I still think the Nats could make the playoffs. That's definitely not
so,
out of the question.
Yeah.
This point.
Same. Yeah, the Braves.
Well, especially since you have
proven
a young team in Atlanta, you know, we'll see how long they could keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they
and
could
Philly,
easily keep getting for sure.
Yeah, and as far as Oakland, this is like their 4-year thing. Like every 5 years, they make a improbable run.
I know,
until August, and then that happens, then they fall apart.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. They were there. They did it in 2014 with Lester. I think a couple of years before that, they made that crazy run and won the West or something, or got the wild card or whatever. Yeah, we'll see what they do.
That was a rotation that could have gotten job done, though. This A's team is a different story. Like, this A's team is not built for October. It's just not.
No.
It's not happening. Maybe they'll sneak their way in, but they're not going to go on any kind of run, I don't think.
Well, they're not going to beat New York in a wild card game in all likelihood. So,
no.
Yeah.
No.
I think the wild card game is the Yankees in Seattle, to be honest with you, bud.
Seattle?
Yeah, it might be.
Seattle's too boring. I really hope Seattle doesn't get in there because they...
Because the Brewers are
the American League. They have no character. They have no interesting players. They're just... I don't know. They're vanilla. I don't like it.
Yeah. They used to have Ichiro. He was cool, but yeah. Is Ichiro still in Miami, by the way? Oh, that's right. He retired. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh boy. But I find it weird. Real quick. I find it weird. Like, people are always discounting Seattle. Seattle's only 3 games back at Houston, man.
I'm not discounting Seattle. I just hate them and wish ill upon them.
Can you imagine?
But you hate everybody. That's just how it goes.
Houston for the division.
I thought Cubs fans did that to the Brewers or the White Sox, not the Mariners.
The Brewers did it to themselves because they're stupid. They had a pitching problem, and to correct it, they went out and got a mediocre second baseman and third baseman.
I honestly think the Milwaukee Brewers, they're relying on their pitchers going 5 innings and then letting that bullpen go the rest of the way. The bullpen is fantastic, but you're going to wear them out by doing that.
They had the worst trade season of every team in the league. Like, the Brewers dropped the ball. If I was a Brewers fan right now,
they would have gotten really good.
Yeah, I would be livid. Like, they have – their biggest concern was their rotation, and they went out and got a third baseman that wasn't as good as the third baseman they already had. And then they got Jonathan Schoop, who hits some home runs, but other than that, he's pretty much just mediocre. So, like, the Brewers did nothing to improve
– thing, though.
Chances. They already had a decent lineup, and they didn't do the one thing they needed to do to get better, which doesn't bother me.
They might make an August trade. I don't know what could happen, but, you know, an August.
Yeah,
an August
they might try and get Harvey.
I was just going to say Harvey. Yeah.
That's a huge risk, though, because they could end up being buried by August. They could be out of it by then.
I don't think they will be. I don't think they will be.
They want to bet?
No, they won't.
Right now, you and me, Pat.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't
What's
think
your wager?
The Cubs are going to run away with
$10. $10.
$10.
Hey, you know what? I'll say this. I think that St. Louis has a better chance of finishing last than the Brewers falling out of it in August.
I kind of hope those things happen. I don't think they'll finish.
Yeah, I agree.
I do hope that happens. Okay, so what are we saying is out of it? Like 10 games plus back of the Cubs?
That's not happening. Yes.
$10 for 10 games back.
So we're talking end of August, is that, or middle of, what are we doing?
Because don't forget, after August 25th or something, if you make a trade, you can't be on the postseason roster.
Okay, so we'll go with August
25th.
We're going to do August 25th. August 25th, Brewers have
really?
To be, yeah. Okay, so... see, this is where it gets sticky because it's hard to say what exactly constitutes being out of it. Like, what kind of lead is insurmountable at that point? How many games?
I thought it was September 1st that you had to be on the roster to make the playoff roster.
Oh,
I didn't know it was August 25th.
I don't know. Yeah, August 25th is as good a date as any. Like, that's
okay.
Almost a month. That's a good time table, I think. It's fair.
So August 25th, there's going to be what, about 35, 40 games left?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. Well, should we say eight? If the Cubs are up 8 games on the Brewers by August 25th, then the Brewers, they have no shot at winning the division, or at least it's a really long shot for them, right?
Yeah.
Can we agree
on
that?
Well, they do have – they have – they would have 6 games left against the Cubs in September. I'm looking at their schedule right now, and it's pretty tough. I mean, it's they're playing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
See, but
I'm that type of guy. I like looking at all the stats.
It's still going to be tough, and I don't know.
Right. But of all their series left, they have 1 series against the Padres, 1-2 against the Reds in August, and then everybody else is 500 or better in contention.
Again, all right.
The last weekend of the year, they're in Detroit. So everybody else is red. Oh, excuse me. They've got Cubs. They've got Pirates. They've got St. Louis. They've got the Nationals. They've got the Giants. They've got the Dodgers. Atlanta. They've got a pretty brutal schedule the rest of the way.
Okay. So what are we doing here, Pat? The wheels are in motion. This is happening. We got to settle this. What are the terms here?
All right.
The money.
So...
We want some money, Lebowski. What are we doing?
Where's the money, Lebowski? Okay, so $10 bet. The Brewers on August 25th. That's the date we agreed, right, guys?
Yep. Yes.
August 25th. That'll work.
Okay, August 25th. The Brewers have to be 7.5 out at least.
7.5 by August 25th.
That's right. First place.
That'll work. This is me extending my hand to shake your hand right now.
Now, we're talking division only, yes?
Yes.
Who's taking this bet, Pat and who?
It's me and Adam. It's the two main co-hosts here. It's the ones that we have to put up with each other all the time, unfortunately.
So Adam thinks that the Cubs are going to be 7.5 up?
It's a deal. I'll take cash. Check. You can PayPal me.
I think
it's
going to be much, much closer.
Venmo him. Venmo him.
Question. Who's on what side of the wager here?
I'm saying the Cubs are going to be up by at least 7.5 games on the Brewers by August 25th.
And I'm saying it's going to be much closer than that because the Brewers, outside one little slip-up before the All-Star break, they've been consistently winning games.
Brewers are a brown stain in the pants, though. Like they're gonna screw this up. They already have.
The Cards are down 4-1.
Good.
Well, the Cards were down 4-0 yesterday, and they still won.
Oh yeah.
I don't care.
Davis. He wasn't in the game. I don't know if he was or not, but
they're all eating that Matt Carpenter salsa.
Oh, I've heard enough of that for one lifetime.
So what do you guys?
Did you guys know he makes his own salsa?
What? What?
I said, did you know he makes his own
salsa?
I had
no idea.
Yeah, but who cares? Because salsa is just meh. Like, salsa is not that great. People are always like, oh, my God, it's you've got to try this salsa. It's so good. Salsa is not that – salsa sucks.
Like, that's too far.
Nacho cheese over salsa any day of the week.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
Queso.
Okay, I'll agree there, but salsa is good.
On a good day,
salsa is good.
Okay, and that's all it is. Like, let's not
nothing like going to Mexican and eating all the chips with salsa before you eat your actual meal.
Yo, oh, I love that.
Yo, Pat,
I do it every time. I tell myself I'm not going to do it, but then I do it anyway.
Salsa.
What are
you saying? Are you saying that salsa is the ranch dressing of Mexican condiments?
No, I'm not, because ranch dressing can be very good on certain things. And
ranch is one letter away from being the word ranch. Okay,
also,
it's horrible.
On some things, like, there's nothing you would eat with salsa that nacho cheese wouldn't be the better alternative. So,
I'm trying to think of a good alternative. It's not working.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you can do guacamole. Guac.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Guac is better than salsa.
Guacamole costs extra. Salsa is free. I never get guacamole. It always costs extra.
Yeah, well, you're guacking at the wrong places then, obviously. Man, I got a guac guy, okay? I can get you a good deal on guac, okay? It's primo stuff, best around. Yeah.
What do you guys make of A-Rod's comments?
A-Rod is an idiot. A-Rod is a chud. Okay, that guy
was
not
really full of garbage. It was clearly very little truth to that.
Yeah, he was saying on the air that night, he was totally just making that up as he was going along. Like, he had no factual basis for what he was saying. I would be willing to bet. There's no way. He was definitely just making that up. And I'm not surprised, though, because A-Rod is stupid.
Well, A-Rod knows, I'll give him this, A-Rod knows about teammates turning players, because he had his teammates turn on him a couple times, I'm sure, back in New York, whether it was, 13, the whole steroid drama with him. So, yeah, at least he knows from experience, but obviously he was wrong about the Darvish situation. And, I mean, no one's going to admit it. If anyone actually said anything remotely possible to that or close to that, I mean, no one's going to admit that, but in all likelihood, he just made that up. Randall, you tried to probably offer an example, and it came out as, like, absolute, and it's like, yeah, nope, not buying it.
I'm just surprised that no one like Rizzo's come out and said anything against it.
Well, he kind of did.
I mean,
didn't he? I mean, I think he sort of did. I think he came out, like, either today or yesterday.
The agents were the one that people were talking about the most.
I'm on agent ones. I didn't see anything else. So
Rizzo's on the record.
I'm not on Twitter all the time like Adam is, so there you go.
Rizzo's on the record, Kaplan, talking about, you know, defending Darvish, and everybody loves him. So, I mean, of course he's going to say that no matter what, but I believe him. I don't think that there's any issue in the clubhouse. I mean, we saw what happened. Like, when teams have clubhouse issues, it comes out. Like the Cardinals, potentially the Nationals. I'm not saying that the Nationals do, but there's been some rumblings in there. So, I mean, the Cubs have a great clubhouse that's advertised. I think we would have heard by now if negative things were happening or, you know.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like, when a team has major clubhouse issues, it's not breaking news. Like, it's usually pretty obvious to most people that there's some kind of turmoil going on. And I don't see that being the case in Chicago.
Why?
Yeah.
I mean,
guys, I hate to cut this off, but we have 30 seconds left, so we are out of time. I really wish we could continue this show, but we have to wrap it all up. Corey, William, Matt, Cody, Adam, thanks to you all for coming in tonight. This was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, look.
It was okay. Awesome. It was just okay. It was all right. None of
Adam,
you were speculating. You were all just okay.
Yeah.
I don't really mean that, though. Thanks, boys.
Well, everyone, thank you again for listening. We will see you next week, and have a good night.